Throughout the season. I'm your host, Steffi Smalls. Make sure to check out the show on your streaming platforms, whatever that may be, Spotify, Apple. Follow us on at OnBeat19 and at Steffi Smalls with 3 L's on Twitter. I'm very excited today. I'm going to be talking to Mike Kay. He's a beat writer for the Eagles. How are you doing today, Mike?
I'm making it through. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. I know it's a interesting time to be asking people how they're doing, because there's always a little bit extra fun that we're getting with 2020.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is something else. It's you're learning how to kind of live, and then I guess from a beat writing perspective, you're learning how to live with the lack of human interaction, which is right. Like my expertise. So it's kind of rough.
Yeah. I can't imagine. So before we start talking everything Eagles, how did you get started in journalism? How long have you been with the Eagles? That kind of thing. Let everyone know the situation there.
So I got started. My career was kind of originally TV oriented. I'm a broadcast journalism major. I graduated from the University of North Florida in Jacksonville. It's actually where Todd Haley, the former OC for the Chiefs, or the former head coach of the Chiefs and former OC for the Cardinals, right? He played golf there. Yeah, he was not a football player. And then so I started off in broadcast journalism in like a really large market in West Palm, Florida. Did that, then went out to Arizona and did entertainment TV. And then, through writing and blogging and podcasting, this kind of just took off. And so I've been with NJ.com for a little over 2 years. Before that, I covered the Jaguars for First Coast News in Jacksonville. Nice. So, yeah, a little well-traveled.
I just did an interview with one of the Jags beat writers. He was awesome. We had a good chat. And I also, so going back to Arizona, I went to University of Arizona. So I relate to you on the Arizona, the thing there. So how long have you been with the Eagles, though?
I've been covering the Eagles for about 2 years. Okay. I left Jacksonville right after the 2018 preseason, and so I've been up here since.
That's awesome. Very cool. I'm a New York Giants fan, so I'm sure all of my followers are going to be very pleased with me that I'm interviewing an Eagles beat writer. They'll get over it. Let's just dive right into the season. I mean, like you were saying before, I can't even imagine being a writer and covering sports right now, because you're getting really limited face interaction. And I don't know. I mean, I can't believe that we're already at week 15 here. It's crazy. The season is flying by. Just what has the season been like for you as a writer covering? I mean, you were with the Jags before, so you have been in the NFL industry a little bit for some time now. Is there stuff like what are the things that really have been so different for you?
Well, this is my sixth season as a full-time beat writer, and I've been covering the NFL for 10 years. So this has been a little different. I mean, look, I think this has been an interesting year if you're a blogger, right? Because you're kind of on not like an even playing field with us beat writers, but we're having to adapt to limited, availability. And a lot of our conversations with players are similar to my conversations with you right now. So it's not easy. You're having to work a little bit harder. You're having to make more calls. Lazy journalists are being really exposed, and I'm not part of that group. But for anybody who's listening to this and seeing the quality of content go down, it's partially because some people are being exposed in the business,
right?
And not to their fault either. I mean, like, in a certain way, we're all creatures of habit. We all have different strengths as beat writers, and everybody has their thing. And I'm a very big relationship person, so this has been pretty difficult for me, but it's helped me kind of change my game in a little bit of a direction. It's got me, focusing more on storytelling than and bigger picture storytelling than the day to day, which has actually been good. You know, I think when you're a beat writer, you're always growing. You're never, you know, at the point where you can't learn every single day. And this has taught some new lessons for me. I think when you come from a smaller market like Jacksonville and you come to this big market, you know, right off the bat, like I did, the first 2 years were like a whirlwind. And then this third season has kind of been like, I was always told by a veteran beat writer that, a mentor of mine, that it takes 2.5 years for you to really get, you know, comfortable on a beat. Well, this is 2.5 season. I mean, this has been 3 seasons now. And so it's weird that my main comfort year is in a pandemic, but it's very true. I mean, I was pretty well known in Jacksonville, accomplished a lot there. And then to come here, I mean, the markets aren't even comparable. So there's a lot that goes into it. I guess that's a long answer there.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I mean, I can't even imagine. It's kind of like it must be different, especially not having that face-to-face interaction. That's something really special that you guys get. Because obviously, I mean, I kind of got into this because of quarantine. I'm actually a medical student myself. So I reactivated Twitter being bored. So I kind of dived in. And it's interesting to see how I can imagine that keeping up your content and staying fresh when you're not getting that you know, you're not getting the lock. I don't know. I'm sure you guys can't go in the locker rooms. I don't know right. if you had locker room access before, but I can imagine not having those interactions like that, especially being a personal like person that I can obviously tell that you are. And I'm sure that's something that has given you a great success because you're able to make those relationships with people. And I can imagine that that has to have an impact on the way you do your work.
Well, like imagine this, right? So you're not on video, I am, right? But you want to make eye contact with somebody. You really want to get to know them. You want to empathize with them. You want to be able to tell their story. And it's kind of hard to do. Like, this is so robotic, right? So I think with a locker room, you know, that's one of my strengths is working in the locker room, is going around and talking to guys, having relationships. And right. so when that's taken away, you know, it's very difficult. I mean, but you adapt and you've got to learn. Right. And this is constantly changing. I mean,
right. You either adapt or just figure it out. I mean, you really have no way to go around it. It's my dad used to always say adapt, improvise, overcome. And I always think of that when I think of 2020, because it's like you kind of just have to figure it out and just roll with the punches or get left behind. So I was checking out, it seems like you're doing a great job though adjusting, and I think that not everyone has been able to do that, so I applaud you for that for sure, because I can't imagine that it's easy, especially being someone that is likes eye contact. I mean, even now I hate the fact that I have my video off, but I'm sparing you since I just came back from the gym. But speaking about the players, going into this season, is there a player that has really surprised you? This season in particular, I know the Eagles are having some a little bit of an interesting situation going on there with the quarterback. And I don't know if there's someone that you weren't expecting or if there's really a player that's kind of stood out to you this season.
From an on-the-field standpoint or off the field?
It can be either. If it depends for, I'd like to get your take. And you can do one for each if you wanted to. But
well, I mean, I would say on the field, Alex Singleton, who was a former CFL standout with the, oh man, my brain is like, what? The Calgary Stampeders, excuse me. He signed with the Eagles last year and was a special teams ace. Looked like he was probably not even going to make the team this year. Now he leads the team in tackles. So,
cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy. He's a really good guy. He works a lot with the Special Olympics. Really good person. So he's one of those stories that you really like to root for. And then I'd say, you know, from an off the field, I don't know if I would just say from an off the field standpoint, but a guy like Darius Slay, who you know is a good player. He's got a great reputation. He's one of my favorite interviews that I've done in my career. He's just a really eccentric guy. I think that's like the word I would use for him. He's very funny. He's got quirks. So it's cool.
Yeah, I noticed that from his Twitter too. I follow him because I think he's a great follow. I don't know if you guys follow him on Twitter, but you definitely should check it out. He's a great follow. I mean, he's very not animated, but I think eccentric is definitely a good word for him. He has a good personality. And I think it shows, I can kind of get a taste of that a little bit through his Twitter, obviously not as well as you and being able to interview him, but that's awesome. I think keep going with players. I mean, this season, why don't we just talk about the quarterback situation? How are you feeling about Jalen Hurts?
Well, I mean, look, I think when you, he's kind of been the squeaky toy, just to play into you.
I know. Oh my gosh, my love to be as interactive as possible. She would be right next to me trying to play with you if she could.
Well, I mean, I would have fun with that. I'm a dog person. But, you know, Jalen is a guy who has this personality that everybody kind of gravitates towards a lot in the way like Nick Foles. He's a guy that is very, very committed to getting better. He has this resolve that you don't expect out of like a kid in his early 20s. Like I could never really compare myself to him, but nothing can fluster him. And he was set up with like a rough situation, obviously in college, being benched in the biggest game of his life,
right.
Moving to Oklahoma, reinventing himself as a passer, then getting drafted in the second round by a team that just gave their quarterback a $128 million extension.
Yeah.
And now he's a guy who is in position to really kind of make the most of things. I've talked to former teammates of his. I've talked to people who have mentored him, and they just love this kid. He's been an instant hit in the locker room, and a lot of people are really happy for him.
I think people, you can tell with him too. I mean, I hate to just say you could tell someone's vibe, but I think you can tell with him that he's just a level-headed kid and he's really there to play football and he wants to be part of the team and he's kind of willing to do whatever. If Wentz is playing, Wentz is playing. If he's playing, he's kind of focused on doing what he needs to for the team. And I mean, he played well. I mean, the kid can ball.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is becoming a division of young quarterbacks. And if you're not good enough for the long haul, you're going to get out of there. And so I think, you know, this is a situation where, look, the head coach, Doug Peterson, is probably coaching for his job over the next 3 weeks.
Absolutely.
The GM really needs to look smart by drafting Jalen Hurts when everybody panned this pick. And, you know, Hurts is in a position to kind of make this conversation a little bit more interesting over the next couple
Absolutely.
Of weeks.
Absolutely. Yeah. Do you think so? I have this question about Wentz that, I mean, I think there's been a lot of chatter about it. Do you think that Wentz will end up somewhere else next year?
I think a lot, I hate to cop this out, but I think it depends a lot on the next three games. You know,
Definitely.
This is a guy who, if you trade him, you're basically paying $34 million to not have him on your roster, which is borderline insane from a business standpoint.
Yeah, literally, quite literally insane. It's crazy. And then I wonder, does anyone, so if we've seen Jalen Hurts come in and he's made it work with this team that everyone, so if you get rid of Wentz, is that saying that it was all on the team? But the team's doing okay with Hurts. So if you send him somewhere else, is it going to, you know, so it's this whole, can Wentz really perform in another team, or is it Wentz himself kind of thing? Is it the coaching? Doug Peterson, I definitely think his job is something that we're going to be hearing a lot about these next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, look, when an offense works, it's not the roster, it's not the play calling, at least from an optic standpoint, it's the guy who was making it not work. And you look at this offense, Jason Kelce, the center, is the only player who's started in every single game. So this is a team that's kind of been snake bitten with injuries throughout. They've been at least three games without guys like Jalen Reagor, Isaac Seumalo, Jason Peters, Lane Johnson, Brandon Brooks has been out for the year. There's just a lot going on. And look, I think Carson's redeemable. I just think there's no way you can if this fails, you can't have general manager Howie Roseman, head coach Doug Peterson, and quarterback Carson Wentz all on the same team again.
Moving forward. Definitely. It'll be an interesting situation to see how it goes. So I guess especially seeing them play these next with this division race that's going on. I mean, the NFC East is quite the circus, is kind of going to be the best way that I can describe it. I mean, being a Giants fan, you look at like 5 days ago, we thought we would win the division, and now it's not looking so pretty. So everyone is kind of in this weird situation in this division. But something that I do like about this division is I think that we're seeing a lot of rebuilding here, and I think it's awesome because I think there's a lot of young players. There's a lot of room for growth really on all of these teams. So moving forward for the Eagles, I know the draft is something that is kind of a thorn in some people's side to talk about because I know it comes up a little too early, but moving forward, what do you think the needs are for this team moving forward? It doesn't even necessarily need to be the draft, so it could be just what the weaknesses are and what needs to get filled.
How much time do you have? Look, this is a team that they're going to be around $70 million over the cap next year. So free agency really isn't a thing. You know, you look at the quarterback position. If you have two quarterbacks, you typically don't have one. And you know, look, I think they're good at running back. I think they're going to be fine at tight end, even if they have to trade Zach Ertz. I think this offensive line has dealt with so many injuries that a lot of young kids have played, and so I think they'll be okay from an offensive line standpoint. Look, I think they need another wide receiver. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if they had a top 10 pick and they spent it on a Devonta Smith or a Jamar Chase. Look, they need a lot of help at linebacker. Their cornerback situation is kind of gross. Safety is a bit of a question mark. They just lost Roddy McLeod with an ACL. He probably won't be able to start the season on the active roster. Ooh. We don't really know what Kayvon Wallace is. Jalen is going to be a free agent. Linebacker is the least paid linebacker group in the league by a country mile. Their defensive line's in great shape, but a lot of aging talent there. This is the oldest team in the division. And, you know, it's time for a rebuild. You know, all good things must come to an end. Their playoff window isn't necessarily closed, but their Super Bowl window certainly is. And so there's going to be a lot of change in Philly. I don't know if it's going to be as drastic as the changes with the Giants, as drastic as the changes with the Washington football team. But it's at worst a soft rebuild, and it's going to take at least a year or two to get back.
And I think it's hard for fans too, because a lot of people want this instant gratification. They want things to happen now. They're frustrated, and people have to realize that it takes time to rebuild. I mean, you're not going to get it. It's going to take a little bit more than just a year. These guys need to become a team. Also, they need to see what players work where. And I think something that COVID has done to this season, which is really awesome that you're seeing across the league, is that players, since there's been a lot of, you know, a lot of players opted out, there's a lot of injuries we're seeing. And it's nice because I think you're seeing some players that maybe wouldn't have gotten a chance. And they're really having these standout years. I mean, you're having players really step up, and especially we're seeing, I mean, I go back to the New York Giants because it's what I know very well, but we're seeing these players that were seventh round picks, Mr. Irrelevant. These guys are having like fantastic games, and it's really giving them a chance to have a fantastic career. So I think that's been one of the benefits that at least has come out of this, is that you're seeing some players that maybe you wouldn't have expected to do as well really come through and be able to show their talent and what they're worth to teams.
Yeah. And I think you're seeing some older players get to stick around because there's the practice squad rules for this year, and that's saving careers, and guys are being elevated from the practice squad. A guy like Carson Tinker, who I used to cover in Jacksonville, he's on the Giants practice squad with our league last year. And so he and his lovely family get to stay employed for a little bit, which is pretty cool. You know, I mean, look, there are some success stories in this unfortunate year, and you know, looking on the positives, nice sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I tend to say this a lot on my show since I started doing this, but I do applaud the NFL. I think that they have, I think they've done a good job working with kind of crap. You can't make cupcakes out of crap. So they're doing the best that they can here with what they have, but at least we have the next season to look forward to. So moving forward, we'll just hop into next season. Is there something you're excited for aside from being able to hopefully get some more face-to-face interaction, maybe with the team, as far as the team goes, maybe seeing how their rebuild is? Or
yeah, I like rebuilds. Look, I made a career out of covering bad teams when I was in Jacksonville. So You know, it'll be cool. I like seeing young talent kind of develop. It'll be cool to kind of have like a breath of fresh air within the organization, because I came midway through the Doug Peterson. I came like immediately after the Super Bowl. I covered the Jags and their AFC title run. And so now, you know, it'll be cool. I mean, look, I look forward to every season. The off season is my season. I before I was a beat writer, I was a draft guy. So this is kind of more of my more of what I live for, as opposed to
that's awesome. Yeah. So I'm like, the more I'm doing now that I'm getting a little bit more involved, I'm starting to really get interested in the draft. Whereas maybe I'd kind of look at the prospects, you know, 2 weeks before, kind of scan the sites, but it's cool now to be getting a little bit more involved in college football. University of Arizona obviously left a bad taste in my mouth after I left. I always joke that Nick Foles leaves programs to shambles for a little bit. He did that to U of A, and then he kind of did a number on the Eagles too. But yeah, so I look forward to rebuild. I'm actually excited to see the NFC East, what everyone does. I think that especially the Washington football team, I really think that they have a strong program over there. So it'll be nice to finally have a division that we can look forward to some competitive games that maybe we weren't always getting. It's kind of just been a crapshoot, and you're not really sure who's going to play well, who's even playing. So it'll be cool. It's going to be interesting, especially with some young quarterbacks. We'll see if Alex Smith stays over at Washington, but now we'll see if Daniel Jones can secure his spot with the Giants, and I don't know what's going to happen with Dak over there. So we'll see about that situation. It's a little bit of a mess over there as well, but it's nice. It's nice to see the division kind of building as a whole together too, and in their individual teams. So I'm that's definitely something that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is, if you remember way a little far back around 2010, the NFC West was a lot like this. They were a terrible division and nobody really cared for them. And then Pete Carroll kind of reinvented the Seahawks. Jim Harbaugh came in and reinvented the 49ers and so on and so forth. And these divisions go through all these iterations where, you know, teams go, it's kind of like a five-year stand for all these divisions. There was a time where the NFC South was horrific, and then they kind of elevated with Ron Rivera and you know, and Dan Quinn and all these coaches. So, you know, I think the NFC East is the next division to kind of go from being kind of sad to glad in a you know, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, definitely. And it'll be interesting. I mean, at this point, I don't think you can confidently say that one team is going to win this division. I think it'll be interesting who ends up coming out the front runner, because I feel like we keep seeing every week, people talk a lot of crap on the NFC East, but they keep pulling off these upsets. I mean, we're seeing these teams upset teams like the Saints and the Seahawks, and they're supposed to be these really great programs, but then you're watching the NFC East teams that everyone mocks beat them, which I think it shows that the value is there. It's kind of putting the pieces together.
Yeah, I agree. And it shows that the staffs haven't lost their locker room, so to speak, and guys want to win. And I think that that's important. I mean, a lot of people talk about draft positioning, but the guys that are on the field, they're risking their health and they want to win games. It's not about the future. It's about right now for them.
Yeah, definitely. Do you have a team? Do you stay unbiased and not have a team that you root for, or do you have a personal team? I don't know if you have one.
Well, I grew up an Eagles fan, but since I've been covering the team, I don't. I have no joy. I have no joy. All I do is kind of, you know, because to do this job, especially to do it well, you've got to take your emotion. You got to take your rooting interests out.
Right.
You got to call it fair, and you got to be unbiased. And I think that's something that I take very much to heart. I think a lot of really good beat writers do that as well. Yeah. There are some beat writers who are fans, but it doesn't feel right. You know, you see how the sausage is made, and you're just kind of.
Right.
You know, definitely. You can't enjoy it. You know what I mean?
I noticed that if you're able to detach a little bit from having a team and having that bias, I think it must channel through in your interviews too, is you're able to really have a clear mind when you're talking to these players, not like I'm so mad at you for what you did on the field because I'm, you know, so I think that is something that I've noticed as I'm interviewing beat writers. It's, you can see where the level, you can see their, it come through in their work when they're able to detach from the team or having a bias as being a fan on a certain team.
Yeah. Because I think when you're emotionally invested, you tend to jump to conclusions as opposed to, you know, figuring it out, kind of thinking, because my job is to not only have an opinion, but understand the opinion of the organization and why this went that way. I have to know the what and the how and the why. I can't just be like, well, I disagree with this. Well, it's not just about me, right? It's right. I'm an observer and an analyst, but I'm also somebody who is documenting what's going on. And for a reader to, you know, appreciate and respect what I have to say, I have to take emotion and feeling out of it. I've got to focus on the truth. My job is to find the truth.
Right. And you're telling a story, but you're not telling your story. It's portraying the story of the person that you're interviewing or the topic that you're writing about. So I think that has to be a big part in it too, is you can't show any bias. And sometimes you see on I see it come through a little bit on Twitter. And you can tell when it gets to start getting a little personal, but it's good when you're able to give like an unbiased, just to the team opinion on certain things, even not even opinion, you know, you're really just trying to tell the story of what you're covering at that time.
Yeah. I mean, look, everybody covers the teams differently and a lot of people do a lot of different things very, very well. And we all have our strengths and,
sure,
and ways of attacking the beat. You know, I think it's important to kind of just, remove yourself from the situation. You're there to document, you're there to find the truth, and you're there to tell a story that's not, you're not the story, you know?
Right, right. And you guys have such, I mean, being a beat writer, you guys have such great knowledge and such, you're so close to the material and the stories themselves that being able to like portray that to your readers without getting involved emotionally is I think that's when people put out their best work. And I think it's definitely seen. For sure.
Well, I appreciate you seeing it. Some people don't.
Definitely. So we'll start wrapping things up. I don't want to keep you on too long, but so this season, do you have like a good interview story? I crack up at Doug Peterson's interviews. This man cracks me up. He's a goofball a little bit. He's hilarious. How is interviewing him? I need to know. I think I would kick myself without asking you because he cracks me up.
I mean, it's something. I would prefer somebody to be kind of that way, whether he's moody or show some emotion. There's one time where I asked him about the run-pass ratio, and I kind of complimented him, and he's been getting killed for his run-pass ratio. Yeah. And he stopped me mid-question. He goes, so the run game, huh? You like what I did there? You like what? I was just like, all right. I mean, like, you got to understand, like, I come from covering, like, Doug Marrone, who was extremely open. And Gus Bradley, who was extremely open. And Doug tends to play the gamesmanship game that doesn't really work. I mean, he's interesting. Look, I've covered a lot of characters in this.
I mean, it's got to be a little bit better than covering probably Mr. Bill Belichick, who's pretty dry when he drinks.
Sure.
Very funny, but I do laugh when they'll play back some video of him and his facial expressions, I'm telling you, crack me up sometimes. He's a funny guy.
he's got a lot of them. He's kind of like the mask in a lot of ways. Like his face morphs. It's something else.
It's so funny. So looking at next season, what's something that you're the most excited about?
Well, I think new beginnings, right? I mean, this is a team that is on the cusp of a major youth movement. They have so many franchise stalwarts that, you know, there's going to be some painful goodbyes for this team, but there's also going to be some really cool new beginnings, and you're going to get to see a roster pretty much develop from not the ground floor, but maybe the second floor of a 5-story building. So that's always fun.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's good too. I think there is a lot of worth to having vets on the team. I think with a lot of these young guys, we're seeing it on the Giants with Logan Ryan, guys like that, that can be leaders and take their place as an older player on the team, but then also have a lot of young guys around them. I think that's how you really bring a lot of worth to a franchise, I think, because you're making an everlasting impression so that those guys can carry on a certain legacy and a certain level of what the team means.
Yeah, you're passing the torch. It's the circle of life.
Yeah, definitely.
It's the tale as old as time, whatever mottos and phrases you want to use. But yeah. I mean, I think that's what's important. The game's not bigger than one person. The game's going to move on without you. And the way you can leave your mark on the game is really important. And you're seeing that with guys like Logan Ryan and Brandon Graham and Ryan Kerrigan and, you know, all these guys.
It's nice to watch, too. I enjoy watching a lot of those guys, especially their interviews, too. I like to hear them talk about the younger guys and their impact. You can tell how passionate they are about the sport. But this is great. I'm so happy that we got to chat. Next time I'll turn my camera on so we can have great eye contact. I apologize for doing that to you. Do you want to let everyone know where they can find you on Twitter and maybe what you're working on right now, where we can find your work?
Yeah, sure. NJ.com/Eagles. You might be familiar with my beat partner, Zach Rosenblatt, who covers the Giants.
I'm trying to get him on, actually. I think he'll be on next week.
Cool. Well, if you need me to hook it up, I'll do what I can. But, you know, you can find me on Twitter at @Mike_E_KAYE. It's the worst Twitter handle in the history of the world, but I've had it since 2010 before I got in the business. So we stuck with it because you can't change it and then you lose your blue check mark. But yeah, you can check me out. I'm always willing to interact with fans. If you want any fantasy advice, if you want to know about a specific player, I cover every guy from the top of the depth chart through the practice squad through everything. So hit me up. I'm more than happy to chat.
Yeah, guys, definitely give him a follow. This has been awesome. Very, very easy to talk to, very personal. I'll definitely be sliding into your DMs for fantasy advice because if I ever need it, I try to stay a little bit clear of the Eagles too, because I get to be biased. I'm just a Twitter personality. I can be biased to my Giants. So
More power to you.
So I actually have a funny Twitter handle too. I wanted to get rid of my last name when I was going to med school. So I'm a big Eagles fan, so I went with Steffi Smalls, but Steffi Smalls was taken. I've been trying to get her to give me her handle. She will not do so. So I'm at Steffi Smalls with 3 L's. You guys can find me there. Don't forget to follow our show at On Beat 19. We're interviewing a bunch of people. It's been awesome. We get to tons of beat writers across the NFL. Hopefully next week we'll probably get Zach on here, and we're working on a ton of stuff. So make sure you guys follow Mike, and I really appreciate you coming on tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we'll catch you guys next week.